Isn't it amazing? You read the words that are sliding across the screen as reminders of who we are in Jesus. Think about it for just a moment, what you just read on the screen. That you're chosen, that you're loved, that you're forgiven. Today, this morning when we were worshiping and just gathering together and filling up with, He is a good, good Father. And filling up with the truth that we might be broken, but He can make us whole. And it's not just head knowledge, because we sang that song, From the Head to the Heart. Because it moves from that place where it's just something we know to where it moves to our heart and it absolutely transforms us. It changes our identity and we proclaim and know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Isn't it incredible? Think about what you're filling up with, what you filled up with this morning. Some of us could not wait to raise our hands or close our eyes, or just some of us become silent even in the midst of worship because we are so filled that we pour out with gratitude and praise and thanks to our Father who has saved us and who is loving us. And we need this. We need these reminders because in this world, it seems like we have a lot of negativity that comes at us. If you open up Facebook, if you open up the news and turn it on, we're always filled and shown stories and reminded of the troubles of this world, the things that can cause us to be anxious or fearful. And then we start to hunker down a little bit and we're like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. So we try to keep everyone we love really, really close. But the question is should we be filling up with that? I'm not saying we shouldn't see it, but if we spend more time filling up like we did this morning with the truth of who we are, that was what we will pour out. Because think about the purpose of filling up. What do you fill your life, your mind, your heart with? Whatever it is, that's what you're giving away to others. Filling up is so important because we end up filling and then defining our identity. We solidify it. And I think about not just the news, even though they intrigue me, because they've figured out how much that they have inundated us with negativity. Think about it. Some news stations tell us all the things that are going on and all the stressful things and the things we should be concerned about and be aware of. And then they end with this really positive story now to kind of make you feel better so you leave on a high note. They even realize that what they're putting out there is overwhelming. And we're people who want to hear the positive. I mean, think about what you want to hear from your spouse. We want to hear the, I love you. We want to hear and give away to our children and hear from our parents, I'm proud of you. Good job. I'm excited you can do this. I am your biggest cheerleader. We want to hear those things. Think about why and when you came here this morning. How many of you came and hugged people that your love language is actually touch and you can't wait to reach in for a hug? There are a lot of you. And I'm not a hugger, so you all just come in kind of like quickly. So I just learned to open my arms and here we go. But I know it's because we're expressing love. Some of us can't wait to hear, hey, friend, or I'm looking forward to seeing you. Or I missed you. We are people who are wired to hear the good things because we hear so much negative. And we have this battle in our world in which we hear a lot about where we're falling short and it likes to highlight our brokenness, where you need to look a little better. You should dress a little nicer. You should wear the best brands. You should get more power, more status, more stuff. And it challenges us to, on the outside, look better, be shinier. And what happens is it doesn't fill us. It's not filling us up and changing us. It's making us look good. But if we're filled up with something different, negativity, struggles, if we're identifying with our brokenness, then just because you look good doesn't mean that you're pouring out looking good. You're pouring out what you're filling up with. We pour out what we think our identity is. And that's hard. But even with that, I don't believe that that's our greatest struggle. I believe that our greatest struggle actually goes on between our ears. Our greatest struggle is our minds, our self-talk, our negativity, our own rejection of who we are. Think about how often this week you might have nitpicked at yourself. Remember, you walked away from a conversation and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or that was dumb. Or fill in the blank. And how much we put ourselves down. Self-rejection is something that we battle every day. Whether you are here today and you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, or whether you're here checking us out and you're not sure and you're just investigating, or whether you got dragged here because lunch follows. There isn't a single person in this room who does not identify with the inner battle, the mental battle of putting ourselves down. And the reason why it's so important to think about this, what are you filling up with? What do you fill your mind with, your body with, your heart with every day? Because that is what you're giving away, not just to God, but to others. And what we're filling up with also helps us build our identity. And that word identity, Travis, who was up here singing, loves to look up words and find out the etymology of words. And he said, hey, do you know the etymology of identity? No, I don't. And he was really excited because it said it means sameness, oneness. We started talking about what we were going to talk about this week, and we were talking about music, and we realized that our identity as sons and daughters of a king, our identity needs to line up with what God the Father says about us. It needs to be that sameness. If we are putting our identity in our jobs, in our brokenness, in our struggles, in our roles that we play as moms and fathers and friends, then we are not having the sameness, the oneness with God. It is so important to ask ourselves, what are you filling up with? Because that is what you are giving away. And think about what we feed our minds. Who do you say you are? What do you tell yourself? Do you remind yourself about your brokenness? Do you constantly pick at your flaws? We all have them. We all try to hide them, and a lot of times we're pushing them down and we don't want anyone to see them. And we actually spend a lot of time hoping that no one knows that we're flawed or we're broken or we're struggling. So we do, we put on our best. We get all dolled up. We say what we think is the right thing because we don't want anybody to know. But the more you shove that down, where does it go? Don't believe that it just poofs. It stays and it comes out someplace. It will be given away because it's what our belief system is. So what are you filling up with? What are we pouring out? I think about my own belief system before I became a believer and how I had made this really strong. And I mean, I had just walled it in this super great fort of a belief system that said no one or nothing can change it. And that was that I was worthless. I believed it through and through. No one would miss me if I was missing. No one loved me. No one liked me. I had zero purpose to be on this earth. I was worthless. So every time someone said, hey, you shouldn't have done that, I grabbed it, I stuck it in my mind, and I said, bam, see, worthless. I took the mistakes that I made, or if someone didn't include me, gold star on my chart, that I am worthless. I looked for it everywhere I could find it. To prove to myself and to prove to everybody else, I was worth nothing. I would give it away. People would try to say something nice to me and I'd be like, you don't really know me. Or I'd say thanks, but my self-talk was, you know, it's not true. They're just saying that. Until I started rubbing shoulders with people who believed in Jesus. And they spent a lot of time talking about this hope that they had. And it was interesting to me because they weren't perfect people. At times I thought they were the strangest people I ever met. And they still had this hope, and they kept talking about how they're trusting Jesus. And they didn't spend a lot of time telling me, hey, you should accept the Lord because you're going to go to hell. You'll go to heaven. Just accept him. They didn't say that. They walked it out. And I'm glad they didn't say that. Because you know what? My life at that moment, in my opinion, wasn't worth living. I could care less about eternity. I couldn't even survive today. And so they were walking it out, and I would watch them go through struggles. Losing homes, families breaking apart, people losing their financial aid to go to school and not sure how they're going to make ends meet. They were all telling me these things, and then they would pray, and they still had hope. And what I thought they would do is throw it away and say, this is not working for me. Jesus is not the answer. But they didn't give up. They never stopped talking to me, and they never stopped loving me. And so that fort, that solid belief system that I thought no one or nothing could break, was shattered. And I accepted him. I accepted that free gift of salvation. And I was excited, about as excited as I can be. I'm not excitable, so they were like, all right, you're saved. And I was like, all right. Like, woo. And then they were like, you're going to go to heaven. You'll have eternity. I'm like, huh, not going to hell. Sweet. And then they said, go tell people what you did. Go tell people that you're saved. So I did. I went and told some people. And about an hour later, I had time to myself, sitting alone. And right then is where the battle began. What's going on between my ears? My old belief system had come flying in and crashing into this new thought that I might be new and I might be saved. And I instantly said, I don't think that really happened. I'm probably not really saved because if God really knew me, he wouldn't save someone like me. I'm so messed up. There's no way. And the battle just did not stop. And what I didn't know then, but I know now, is that it had only been an hour. But in 1 hour, I had already dealt with my whole belief system. And what I didn't realize was, is I had so much time to fill up this other belief system that I'd only had an hour to really start filling up with the truth of what Jesus says about me. And it was going to take time, and it has taken time. But I don't want to communicate that if you accept the Lord, that all of a sudden you won't have a negative thought, that you won't put yourself down, because that's not true. Every person in here who has already said that Jesus is their Lord and Savior could raise their hand and say they fight this battle. It's ongoing. And we all have it, but the truth is the more we fill up with the truth, with the message that we are forgiven, that we are chosen, that we are loved, we go from the head to the heart and we find that we are transformed. And we have a new identity in Christ, and we can say that we are sons and daughters of a king. Now think about it. We're still going to have the battle, so what do we do with it? We still have the battle of pulling and identifying at times with our brokenness. Even though we know the truth of being sons and daughters, we still struggle. So what are we supposed to do with it? We catch it. We focus on ourselves and we focus on our thought process. And when we hear ourselves putting ourselves down, rejecting ourselves, we say no. I am adopted. I am the son, or I am the daughter of the Most High God, the only God. And we declare it. And for some of us, don't just say it in your head. If you can, declare it out your mouth. Let your ears hear the truth. Let yourself fill up. Because we can get caught up in our heads. We can accidentally wallow in our brokenness. We can find ourselves constantly saying, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I did this wrong. Yes, I'm a mess. But then take it to God and say, yet you're the great redeemer. I am forgiven and I am loved. And there is nothing greater than God our Father. Now, in studying for this, I was reading Romans already. I love Romans. I love Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. And I loved him so much when I was in college because I had discovered that he didn't come from this squeaky clean background of being perfect. He had some issues. He was angry. And he was educated, but he didn't like anything that had to do with Jesus. He didn't want to hear about the gospel until God grabbed him and changed his whole identity. Where God revealed himself, and Paul discovered that his old life was false. And now he's renewed, and he spent the rest of his life rippling out the gospel and the good news. But Paul is honest. In all the books he writes, he writes and he is honest with, we are struggling, but there is hope. We might fall short, but with Jesus, we can get it back together. I love in chapter 7, he says, I do what I don't want to do. And I think to myself, I do that all the time. How many of you sit and think, I shouldn't do this? I'm going to do it anyways. I shouldn't do that. Why am I doing this? And we keep doing it. We do what we don't want to do. And why? Because of the battle that goes on in our minds. Because we're forgetting at times to fill up with the truth. That way we can pour out love. We can pour out a witness and a difference where we don't easily get caught up in what the world asks us to do. We stand apart. I love that we sang this morning, that there's no shame in looking like a fool. There is no shame in standing and having hearts and minds and transformed lives that proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. There is no shame. But as you go on and you read Romans, and if you haven't read it, I challenge you to read it. In chapter 8, he addresses the mind. And around verses 5 or so, he starts talking about how our minds need to not be connected to the world and follow the things of the world, but of the Spirit. And he talks about how we become hostile in our minds as we follow the things of the world, and we become hostile against God and against each other. And can't we attest to that? How much anger, believer or not, do we see come out of people? In road rage, in comments, in the things that we put on Facebook, even against our brothers and sisters. That is a filling up of things that are not the sameness or the identity that God has given us. I kept reading in chapter 8, and in verses 14, beginning in verse 14, it talks about being led by the Spirit. He says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. For those who are led by the Spirit. Now that word led, I love. Because Paul writes led and it can be exchanged with walking. They're interchangeable, but think about the difference between the two words. Led is more passive, submissive, a dependence on God. We need to depend on God and submit to him and be led by the Spirit. But walking by the Spirit is active. Where we choose to participate and we choose to do what God calls us to do. And I really want to highlight this because as a marriage and family therapist, I hear a lot of people say to me, I just want a really large neon sign to fall from the sky and tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. And the truth is we might not always know what to do, but move, walk, trust, have faith, because our loving Father will guide us. or he will correct us and help us get on the right path. But we have to move, and we can move being dependent and submissive. And so those who follow the Spirit are the children of God, because we have been transformed, we have been adopted. We now have a new identity. Fill up with the truth. You are children of God if you know him. Pour it out to others. And then the verse goes on. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. Doesn't take you backwards. When we accept Jesus, we are moving forward. God takes us forward. He doesn't take us to our old life. Many of you, I talked to many people over the last couple days who have said to me, I know my old life, and I can say with confidence that I am no longer that person. Because of what Jesus had done in their lives, in their minds, in their hearts, the transformation. Now this verse gives us a glimpse of what happened in the Old Testament, where we see that the Israelites are freed and they're brought out of Egypt. And they're no longer slaves. He didn't bring them out to make them slaves again. He brought them out and freed them and called them sons and daughters. And so some of us forget, because of our self-talk in our minds, we live shackled to our own negativity. We live shackled to our own rejection, and so we don't walk and we don't move. And so being shackled to our brokenness is not what God intended. He intended you to walk free, declaring and bringing our brokenness to him, to the cross, filling up with our new identity, pouring it out and giving him thanks and praise. And being able to share it through action and word and attitude to everyone we come across. And we cry out, Abba, Father. Crying can be used as prayer. We pray, Abba, Father. We pray, Papa. Father, who do we call Daddy or Papa? The Father that we are so close and so intimate with. Do we need to remember and fill up that he's not a distant God? That he is with us every moment of every day. He doesn't blink and miss. He sees it all. He loves us through everything. And so to take this time and to remind yourself of truly who you are loved, you are forgiven, you are chosen. You are adopted. Adopted doesn't make you stepchildren. It gives you the rights of those born into a family. You are his kids. You are. And do you realize that nothing can take that away from you? Your brain, your mind, your self-sabotaging thoughts, they still do not separate you from the love of God. They do not. Your identity. We all continuously work on our identity, me included. Constantly having to fill up and give away and give back to God. Thanks and gratitude and praise. Nothing separates us from him. Because when you keep reading on in Romans 8, verses beginning in verse 37, it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't it amazing how there is nothing? You see all the supernatural in that passage. All things are created by God the Father, the one and only God. So nothing supernatural can take away his love. Why? Because God is the creator of everything. And he will not move away from us. You can run all you want. He stays right with you. And I say that because some of us are here today and we're not sure. And we think it's not for us because we don't need him. Life is good. Or we think he won't want us because we're so broken. Or we don't think we can change our habits. Or because we spent so much time putting ourselves down, we're so broken that we think he can't break it. Trust me, I spent over 20 years of my life telling myself I was worthless, and God shattered it. He will shatter whatever is going on in your heart and in your mind. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. We are more than conquerors. We have the greatest power ever. The Spirit of God comes and fills us and renews us. And Paul says, I am confident. He can only say that. We can only say that when we have gone through life's struggles and heartaches and the roller coaster ride, and we have seen that God does not leave us or forsake us, but he sees us through it. You read all of Paul's writings. You read Romans, and he'll be honest with the struggle, his frustrations with his brothers and sisters, cities and towns, and people who lie. And he is convinced that nothing will separate him from the love of God. That is true for us also. And so our challenge is to not identify with our brokenness. To not make that our identity, because that's not sameness. That's not oneness with God who claims you as children. Our identity, we need to fill up. And how do we do that? You can read the word. You can join groups. You know, here at New Life Church, we talk about groups. And I know some of you are like, oh, there's always something going on. Because when we leave these walls, Sundays and Saturdays, and this week, First Friday, can be amazing. We feel good. We filled up. We're ready to overflow with him. And then we go out our doors and life hits us. We want you to join groups because we want you to partner and rub shoulders and encourage and love on one another. That group can be a women's Bible study or a men's M6 or going out for be the tech team or be on the worship team or helping children's. It can be any group where believers are gathering together and loving on one another. And I know it's scary, but some of us need to take the step of getting out of that isolation because our minds become our judge and jury. And God is our only judge. He is the only one. So the challenge is this week, the tangible, to walk away. How do we do this? I want you to take the challenge, if you want, to catch your thought process. What? Every time you think about something negative about yourself, see if you can stop yourself. Catch yourself and take it to God and say no. So if you have the thought process that you're dumb or you're useless or no one wants to know you or I don't have anything to say, stop and take it to God and declare, put it in the truth, and that is, I am loved. I am forgiven. I am chosen. I am adopted. I am redeemed. I am new. Let's pour in into each other and fill up with the things that solidify who we are in Christ. So many of us want solid foundations. The only way to do that is to fill up with truth and fill so far that we pour out back to our Father, where it leaks out of us, in which other people notice, and we ripple out and we become infectious in our community and in this world. So catch in your thought process. You might be amazed at how many times you say something to yourself. How many times you think something. Bring it to him. Journal about it. Write it. Pray over it. If you need to, talk to someone about it. But give it to God. Declare the truth. Say it out your mouth if you can, so you can hear yourself own it. Maybe some of you don't know him or feel like you've moved away. If you're wondering right now if you should accept him, if you need a savior, there is no better time than right now. Last service, we had someone accept Christ. Come to that place where right here, right now, she said, God, I need a savior. That I am broken and I need you and I'm tired of this thought process. And so she said, I believe that you are alive and that you died and rose again for me. And let me tell you, for those of you who are questioning, it's right here, right now. There is no better time than now, because if you go out the door, your mind's going to tell you it's not necessary. So now, some of you maybe need prayer, because it's such a battle to get out of the negative. Such a battle to stop identifying with your brokenness. Then come up front. We will have people up here praying for you. Maybe some of you need to join a group. But whatever it is, let's take action. For some of us, we need to just break up our routines. Maybe we need to go out on the patio and take a risk and get to know someone today after service. Meet Pastor David or meet someone that you've never met before. I challenge every single person to say hi. No one should leave this building not feeling welcome or noticed. One of our greatest needs in life is to just know that someone sees us. We all matter. You are all chosen. And God loves you all. And so I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. And as we remember the blessings and the truth. And so let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that no one is here by accident. That each of us, Lord, can identify with the struggles of our own mind and our own thought process. And so, Lord, I pray that we would continue to fill up with your truth. That we would fill up with your goodness. That you're a good, good Father. That you love us and that you are the God of miracles. And so, Lord, we give you our lives, we give you our minds, we give you our hearts. Lord, today may each and every one of us, each and every one of us, have your word move from our head to our heart to transform us. That we walk away new, with a new identity, that we can say that we are sons and daughters, the Most High God. And so, Lord, I pray blessings upon everybody. May we continue to walk and give you glory and give you praise and give you thanks for loving us so much. And so we just give you our day, our minds, our hearts, and our lives. And everyone said, amen.